Home foreclosures keep rising.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Bill Radke. In many parts of America, the housing market is getting worse and home foreclosures are up. This morning, the real estate data company RealtyTrack released its mid-year foreclosure report. Marketplace's Janet Babin tells us mostly it's bad news.
So far this year, home foreclosures rose in three-quarters of the nation's top 200 metro areas. But in the worst markets, places like Las Vegas, Fort Myers, Florida, Modesto, California, nine areas actually saw foreclosure numbers that were lower than last year. RealtyTrack's Rick Sharga says that's a good sign.
It could be that we've peaked in the areas that were hardest hit, and as those areas start to see levels of foreclosure activity decrease, that could become a sort of a harbinger of better things to come in the housing market.
But it's going to take some time. RealtyTrack Sharga doesn't expect the housing market to fully recover until the end of 2013. That's partly because in areas where unemployment's creeping up, foreclosures are increasing too, cities like Oklahoma City and Baltimore. The area with the lowest foreclosure rate in the study? Utica, New York. I'm Janet Babin for Marketplace.
And on that slightly happier note, how about some happier news? Stocks in Europe are up more than 0.5%. This morning, the European Commission said economic sentiment there rose strongly in July. Asian shares were slightly higher today. Sony said it turned things around in the last 3 months and made money instead of losing it. Also this morning, Motorola said its profit jumped. The company's cell phone unit made money after years of losses. And at Colgate-Palmolive, profits rose 7%. They sold more toothpaste, more dishwashing liquid, and more cleanser. In New York yesterday, the Dow Industrials lost about 40 points, almost 0.4%. The close was 10,497. This is Computer Hackers Week in Las Vegas. The city is hosting two hacker conventions. The Black Hat Conference started yesterday. That one caters to corporations trying to protect their networks. The more unruly DEF CON gathering happens this weekend. Marketplace's Jeff Tyler tells us some convention speakers have been pressured to keep quiet.
Hackers are folks who crack computer security systems for fun or profit, but they can also fix problems.
You need hackers to fight hackers like you need soldiers to fight soldiers.
That's Dan Kaminsky, chief scientist at Recursion Ventures, which focuses on computer security. He'll speak at the conference about new methods he's developed for blocking cyber attacks.
It is going to make for a much safer internet.
But some researchers have been encouraged not to speak. A Taiwanese expert had planned to address internet hacking supposedly done by the government of China. That's been canceled to avoid offending leaders in Beijing. Kaminsky says others may also feel pressure to keep security secrets private.
There may be pressure, but the reality is if we don't talk about how things actually fail, all of our advice is going to be worthless.
There's plenty of demand to see how security systems fail. Attendance at the Black Hat Conference is up 35% this year. I'm Jeff Tyler for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by MassMutual, offering Save the Game, a financial literacy app for children designed for iPod Touch and iPhone, available on the App Store.
The energy bill that is under debate in Congress now is less ambitious than what many Democrats had hoped for. Republican votes weren't there for some of the more aggressive approaches to climate change. One idea Democrats abandoned was putting a tax on carbon production. Well, Marketplace's economics editor Chris Farrell says tax or no tax, the price of carbon will go up, especially the carbon contained in a barrel of oil. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning, Bill.
Chris, oil is under $80 a barrel, which, you know, it's a lot less than what it was a couple years ago, right?
Oh, but Bill, think about it. What have we been talking about for the past several months? A slowing economy, not just here in the U.S., but in China and in Europe. And yet oil has been up for the past 3 months, up to around the $77, $78 a barrel level. And it was only back in 2003, you know, it breached $30 a barrel. So what that tells me is that the price of oil is going to go a lot higher.
How much higher, you think?
Well, I think it's very easy to say $100 a barrel. Now, that's what the Saudis say is the equilibrium price if the whole global economy is growing. But remember, Bill, it went up to $147 a barrel in 2008.
Right.
So if the global economy is growing and production has peaked, you know, the loss is supply and demand. You know what they tell you? A higher price. So $100 a barrel. We may look back on that and say, hey, that was low.
Well, as you said, we hit 140-something a couple years ago. How bad would $100 a barrel of oil be?
It would be bad because I think there is no doubt. Now, there are many factors that played into the Great Recession, the worst downturn since the 1930s. But it's very clear economists have looked at it, and one of those factors was the high price of oil. So our economy is very vulnerable to an increasing price of this precious commodity. And that's why we need to have alternative energy, or else it's the risk that it's going to be energy once again, oil once again, will help put this economy back in the soup.
What are the odds alternative energy is going to come along and save us from an oil shock?
Eventually, it will. My guess is the price of oil is going to go up. All of a sudden, we'll be scrambling with alternative energy. We'll dip down again into a recession or some sort of sluggish economic growth. But we'll finally climb out of it. I just wish that we would accelerate the process so we don't have to go through this boom and bust cycle again.
The uncharacteristically pessimistic economics editor of Marketplace, Chris Farrell. Thank you, Chris.
Thank you, Bill. And Bill?
Yeah?
I hope I'm wrong.
So do we. And finally, the Wall Street Journal reports that Goldman Sachs has ordered its employees to stop using profanity in emails. A few months ago, you may remember, a U.S. senator repeatedly read aloud from a Goldman executive's email in which the executive profanely disparaged one of the company's own mortgage security products.
Boy, that Timberwolf was one shitty deal. How much of that shitty deal did you sell to your clients?
Well, this morning, we emailed Goldman asking for a list of the newly banned words and phrases. For some reason, they didn't write back. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. Listen to our new podcast. It's called The Midday Update, and you can download it straight to your headphones at marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Bill Radke.
American Public Media.